This is Digital Story Podcast number 776, February 2nd. Today's theme is new cameras for 2021. I'm Derek Story. Sony, Fujifilm, Leica, and Canon get 2021 off to a great start by launching a variety of cameras. From Sony's flagship full-frame mirrorless to Canon's AI-powered bot, there's bound to be something for everyone. I provide an overview of this tantalizing gear in today's TVS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So in the photography industry, I think we're off to a good start, at least in terms of options for new gear. You'll see that the variety of equipment that I talk about today is pretty wide. I mean, there's a wide variety of stuff. And it's funny, I'm starting at the top of the list with the most expensive, and I'll be working down the list to downright affordable. And everything on the list is interesting. There's nothing on this list that I don't like. Now, some of it I can afford, some of it I cannot, but that doesn't mean that we can't talk about it, right? Doesn't mean we can't do a little window shopping. And that's exactly what we're going to do right now, just so we know what's going on, right? We know what's going on. You know, that way we're the experts when people ask us, well, you know, what do you think of the new, let's say, for example, the Leica M10P Reporter. That's the first camera I'm going to talk about right now. This was inspired by Leica's history and connection with press photography. So the M10P Reporter is a special edition rangefinder camera featuring a streamlined body design along with a characteristic dark green paint finish. Now, I don't know why it was characteristic. I don't know why that word is in the description, but it's there. Probably should have just left it out, don't you think? The camera also sports a highly durable scratch-resistant coating and is fitted with Kevlar trim for even more rugged appearance and enhanced grip. Now, this camera is part of a limited edition of only 450 units. Normally with Leicas, I look at them and I go, that's a cool camera, would love to have it, but it's out of my price range. This camera, I look at it and all sorts of things start to happen to me. I start to have these views going back in my past when I was a kid, when I was a young photographer. I dreamed of, you know, traveling the world and shooting for Life magazine. And I could see this Leica hanging around my neck as I went from continent to continent reporting, you know, all the good and bad things that happened in this world. This is a very durable looking camera. I love the idea that, you know, the finish is extra durable, that they have, you know, Kevlar, you know, for the grip. I mean, all that's neat. I love the color of it. And I can just see it with that 35 millimeter F2 lens on there. I could do anything with that camera. That it gives me that sort of feeling. Now, one thing I might not be able to do with that camera is pay rent or buy dinner, because it's $8,795, and that's for the body only. Probably that 35 millimeter lens that I want is going to cost about another $3,500 or so. But for that money, here's what you get: a 24 megapixel full frame CMOS sensor. So it's a nice full frame camera, the latest Leica image processor, an optical viewfinder, and a 3-inch touchscreen LCD, ISO 100 to 50,000, 5 frames per second shooting, built-in Wi-Fi. They redesigned the shutter and they added a built-in level gauge. Now, this is a stills-only camera, so no video with this. So you're going to have a video guy with you as you travel the world to document everything that's going on, because no video with this particular Leica. And again, it has a beautiful dark green finish with Kevlar trim. So this thing is a beauty. I would love to have it in my backpack and just pull it out and shoot whenever I wanted to, you know, look cool and get great shots as well, right? And great shots as well. So it's available now for $8,795, body only. So if you already have Leica lenses, then okay, it makes a little bit more sense. For me, I would be starting from scratch. Now, I have a link to it and all the cameras in the show notes. I'll mention that a couple times, but just to let you know, if you want to learn more about it, right, if you happen to be a Leica shooter, this is definitely one worth looking at. All righty. So that is at the top of the heap here. Let's go to the next position. This was a pretty big deal. This is a recent announcement, the Sony Alpha 1 mirrorless digital camera. So this is Sony's flagship full-frame mirrorless, and it's high resolution for stills and 8K video recording. And whew, this thing is a beast, a technological beast. This, listen to these specs here. A 50 megapixel full-frame sensor, CMOS sensor, up to 30 frames per second shooting, ISO 50 to 102,400, 8K, 30P, and 4K, 120P video in 10-bit. So you can shoot 120P in 4K. All right, just process that for a minute, all righty. A 9.4 million dot EVF with 240 frames per second refresh rate. So that refresh rate is about twice of most other cameras on the planet, not to mention 9 million dots, all right? 759-point fast hybrid autofocus, real-time IAF, 5-axis steady shot image stabilization, 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi, 1000 base T Ethernet, and then it has a dual CF Express Type A / SD card slot. So it has dual card slots, both Type A and SD. So this is a whole bunch of spec. I mean, some of this just boggles my mind. The video recording boggles my mind. The viewfinder boggles my mind. You know, the EVF. Just crazy stuff here. But this is a $6,498 camera just for the body only. Shipping begins for this in about a month. March 4th is when shipping begins for this. But if you want the top of the heap for a Sony mirrorless camera, this thing has incredible specs. And I can't wait to read about user experiences with this. I mean, obviously, we're going to get some high-end shooters that are really going to put this through its paces. But this is a crazy camera for people that need basically everything in one device, from 8K video recording to, you know, 50 megapixel stills, and have a great time along the way. Now, this next camera I think is really interesting, and especially I like it that we're putting it alongside the Sony here, because it's the Fujifilm GFX 100S medium format mirrorless camera. So, you know, what Fujifilm is doing, they're doing APS-C sensor and they're doing medium format. So they're not doing full frame. They're kind of on both sides of full frame. But this is really fascinating, because what this camera does, and it's fairly compact for a medium format camera, it pairs an ultra high resolution 102 megapixel sensor with a compact portable mirrorless camera design. And if you ever held one, they're really quite comfortable, and the shooting experience is also lovely with these cameras. For people who want to say, okay, I need the higher resolution, but I don't necessarily want to go the full frame route, I also like having a camera with a smaller sensor and smaller lenses and all that, this is an interesting tandem opportunity, right? So you have the medium format camera, and then maybe you have a Micro Four Thirds or something like that. The specs on this for a $6,000 camera, this is a $6,000 camera, the specs on this are quite good. So as I mentioned before, you have a 102 megapixel CMOS sensor. You have a robust image processor. It shoots 4K 30 video, has F-Log Gamma and 12-bit RAW output. So that's pretty nice there. A 3.2-inch tilting LCD, and that's a touch screen. 5-axis sensor shift image stabilization. It has 425-point phase detection autofocus. ISO is 100 to 12,800 with 5 frames per second shooting. And then it does the 400 megapixel pixel shift multi-shot. So then you can get those super, super high resolution images. And then it has 19 of Fujifilm's film simulation modes. So, and they're coming out with lenses at a pretty good clip for this camera. So the system around the GFX is really kind of rounding out. And considering that you can get this body for $5,999, which is basically $500 less than the Sony Alpha 1. Obviously, in some ways, this is apples and oranges, but in another way, they both kind of have, you know, the same functionality in terms of, you know, high resolution and in a portable package. I just think that this is a great value. Now, I have never seriously shot medium format digital. I used to shoot medium format film all the time back in the day when I worked for advertising companies and stuff like that. They basically required us to shoot. I shot with a Hasselblad in those days. But I've never really seriously worked with medium format digital cameras. If I were, I have to tell you, this would be one that I would seriously consider. I've had a chance to hold one. I've had a chance to play around with one. And I just liked everything about it. And I love the price. I love the fact that you could get into a system with a couple lenses for less than $10,000 or right around $10,000. That is pretty cool. And the images it produces are stunning. So that's new. So now we have a new medium format camera that, well, is relatively affordable. Now this next camera, this is one that, all right, here's my soft spot in this list. I'll tell you right now. And I'm actually going to get one of these to test. I have a review copy requested, and as soon as they're available, I should have it. This is the Fujifilm X-E4 mirrorless camera with the XF 27mm f2.8 weather-resistant lens. You know, one of the things that I'll tell you right out of the chute about this camera, it's the most compact X-mount Fujifilm camera. And then they reworked the 27mm f2.8 lens, which works out to be about 41mm, I think. And they did two things. They added an aperture ring to this lens, and they made it weather-resistant. And you get the lens with the camera. So this price tag of $1,049 includes the camera. I'll give you the specs on the camera in a minute. And it includes the lens. Now, if you just buy the body alone at $849, then you go, okay, you know, that's not a bad price. But considering that you get the camera and the lens for $1,049, that means you're getting this lens. And this is a very good lens. This is a very good lens for only $200. A 41mm f2.8 sharp, colorful, you know, well-made, well-designed, robust lens for $200 when you buy it with the body. I just think that is a superb deal. I have wanted to shoot with this lens, and the fact that I can get it in the kit is very enticing. Let me tell you a little bit about the E4, and then I'll tell you maybe some of the things that would be drawbacks for some folks with it as well. It's a 26 megapixel APS-C, and it's an X-Trans sensor, BSI CMOS 4 to be precise. They have the current image processor. So I think it's the same image processor that's in the other top of the line Fujifilm cameras right now. It has 4K at 30 frames per second and full HD at 240 frames per second. I especially love the latter. I don't shoot a ton of 4K. I do shoot some 4K. And of course, I want to shoot it at 30 frames per second, not anything lower. But I really like having the option of full HD at 240 frames per second. So you get that nice slow motion video. 2.36 million dot OLED electronic viewfinder and a 3-inch tilting, 180 degree tilting LCD. And it's a touch screen. And it's the up and down tilt. It's not the swing out tilt, it's the up and down tilt. My rule of thumb on the LCDs is if I'm going to be shooting a lot of video, I do like the swing out, the fully articulated LCD screens. But if I'm doing more street photography and things like that, I really like the up and down tilting LCD. I just think it's better for street photography. And, you know, when you swing that thing out, I feel like it attracts way too much attention. Whereas if you just have it tilting behind the camera, it feels more inconspicuous to me. 425-point hybrid autofocus system, ISO 160 to 12,800, up to 30 frames per second shooting, has both Bluetooth and Wi-Fi connectivity, has film simulation modes, of course, it's a Fuji, and you get that XF 27mm f2.8R WR lens. The whole kit and caboodle for $1,049. Like I said, I haven't tested this camera yet. I haven't even held it yet. But as I look at it, you know, there's a few things that I think folks should be aware of if they're considering it. And of course, when you look at it, you'll draw your own conclusions. And I have a link to it in the show notes. There are no grips that come with the camera. So it's that very kind of austere styling that looks really good. But because it's a smaller camera without a grip, that can be an issue for some folks. Now, what they've done is they've offered two options. They have the L-bracket grip that comes up, and then you have a nice grip in the front. And I believe it's Arca Swiss on the bottom of the grip so that, you get the bracket and you have a built-in Arca Swiss mount, which I just love those. I put one of those on my X100V, and I'll never take it off. And then the other thing they did, they have this cool little thumb grip for the back, and it slides into the hot shoe mount. It looks really cool. I think the L bracket's around $100, and I think the thumb grip on the back is around $60. So essentially, if you want grips on this thing, you're looking at, if you go with Fuji and not third party, you're looking at another $160 just for the front and back grips. I need to hold it first. So, you know, my approach will be when I test it is to hold it and work with it without grips. And then if I feel like I need a front grip or the back grip or whatever, just add as needed. But I wouldn't order the grips right out of the chute. So I think that's one thing. The other thing is that it has fewer physical controls. It's a smaller body. And like, for instance, folks that really like the flagship Fujis with all the dials and everything might look at this camera and feel like that, well, it doesn't have enough physical controls. I'm a Fuji shooter and I like physical controls. So that would be another thing to look at. However, in terms of what you get with image quality and processing and all that kind of stuff, this camera can keep up with all the other Fujis. It's not streamlined down under the hood. So it doesn't have built-in image stabilization. So if you need that, then you want to look at one of the others that do have that. But if you can live without the image stabilization, you get a lot of camera under the hood for basically $1,000, including the lens. So I'm really interested in this camera. I'm looking forward to test it. As you know already, if you've listened to other podcasts, I love the 40mm focal length. I can get by with just that and be fine. Of course, I would love it if it was f2 instead of f2.8, but, you know, it's a pancake lens, right? This is a really small package that'll just slide right into your jacket pocket. We'll just have to see how this all shakes out. I just love a good value, and I think this one is it. Here's the last one in the list here. This one's a trip, but I think it is a glimpse into the future. And it is the Canon AI-powered automatic camera. It's called the PowerShot Pick, P-I-C-K. Let me read you a little bit from this report on DP Review, and I have the link to the full article on DP Review in the show notes. The experimental PowerShot Pick camera can analyze a scene, identify people, track their faces, then using artificial intelligence, determine the ideal moment to capture a photo. In a rough translation, Canon refers to the Pick as an automatic shooting camera. The PowerShot Pick combines Canon's optical video processing and artificial intelligence technology. The Pick uses a 1 over 2.3-inch 12-megapixel CMOS image sensor. The sensor is paired with a 19 to 57 millimeter equivalent zoom with a maximum aperture of f2.8. It includes built-in image stabilization, which I'm not sure why you need that, because you just sort of set it down on the table and let it do its thing. But anyway, the Pick pans 170 degrees in both directions and can tilt 110 degrees. It records to a micro SD card and weighs a mere 170 grams. Now, here's the thinking behind this camera. While the pic is designed to take photos automatically in the background, which Canon believes will result in more authentic images and better mementos, it can also be manually controlled using keywords. A user says, "Hello, pic," followed by commands, "Take a photo, record video, change subjects, and stop capturing." So it's sort of like having a camera Alexa in a way, right? The pic will launch alongside a dedicated smartphone app, of course, allowing you to view and share photos and videos captured by it. The app automatically recommends the best photos, although you can view all of the images. Now, it's available only to backers in Japan right now on one of their crowdsourcing sites. And the way that the price is working out, if you translate, so right around $400. Now, that campaign has been really successful. We don't know what Canon's going to do with this right now. We do know Canon intends to ship the pic to backers this July, but it hasn't announced global or public release plans, so it's unclear if the PowerShot pic will be available outside of Japan. My guess is that it will be, and I just wanted to get it on your radar because we're going to see more of this. We're going to see more of this type of camera where basically you power it up, you set it up, and then it does its thing and it uses AI to, you know, determine what shots to take and all that kind of stuff. I would love to have this thing in a room. You know, like, it'd be fun to have it in the room for one of our physical workshops, you know, in the lab. And then just review the pictures at the end of the lab and, you know, let everyone, you know, share them, take what they want and all that kind of stuff. I think in situations like that, where I don't have to think about taking pictures, but I want to capture, you know, the moment, I think it would be a lot of fun. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. Those are the new releases in 2021. What a great variety of stuff all over the place. I'll be reporting more for sure on that Fujifilm X-E4 with the pancake lens. And if I get my hands on anything else, I'll follow up with that as well. On1 makes good on promise as plugin support for Capture One Pro. So this is a Petapixel article. I have a link to it in the show notes. And I'm really happy to see this. Let me read you a little bit about what they say. On1 has announced that its effects, portrait AI, resize, and HDR plugins are now compatible with Capture One Pro. The latest versions of these plugins were announced last year with a promise for Capture One support soon. That promise has been fulfilled. Originally launched for Adobe Lightroom Classic and Photoshop, Affinity Photo, Corel, PaintShop Pro, and Apple Photos, On1's addition of Capture One Pro to that mix nicely fills out its support for the majority of photographers who want to use the company's plugins. The On1 Professional plugins for Capture One are available individually for $69.99 each. For those who want all four plugins, you can get the Professional plugin bundle for $99.99. I would say that's about $100. 14-day trials for each plugin are also available. A single purchase of any On1 plugin includes both Windows and Mac OS versions for use on two computers and support for 11 languages. So I just feel like that this is something that Capture One Pro users needed, something that I need, which is I need an easy way to go outside of the app for, you know, a different look. I think Capture One Pro does a fantastic job for getting the right look. In other words, you want good raw decoding. You want, you know, good color balance. You want it nice and sharp. You want to maybe pull down a graduated filter on the sky. You want to do all that stuff, the things that make it a quality image. But then a lot of times after I have that quality image, I want to play with it a little bit more. I want to have a little effect, a little style, you know, a little sugar on it. It's not easy going out of Capture One Pro to work on it and something else like Luminar and then bring it back in. So the fact that On1 has made this workflow a lot easier, I just think is great. I am going to try the trial. I'm sort of excited about it. I'm crossing my fingers that I like it. And if I do, I'll let you know. I'll probably write a couple articles about it. But for those of you that like On One and who depend on Capture One Pro, this looks like a big deal and a very nice one at that. All right, let's do a little virtual camera club business. I got lots of stuff to talk about here. We've got two workshops in the mix. We're starting the first session of the iPhone Pro Workflow Workshop. We're actually starting it Wednesday of this week, so I'm excited about that. We still have a waiting list going. If that waiting list gets up to full workshop size, I will launch a second session of the workshop. And you can get to that waiting list if you're interested in this workshop by just going to thenimblephotographer.com. Go to workshops and you see that you can sign up for the waiting list. Doesn't cost any money. Just get your name on there. That list gets to a certain size, then I'm going to start talking about a second session of the iPhone workshop, which I am totally excited about. And you know, the idea behind that is using your favorite nimble digital camera with a current or semi-current iPhone, and how you can just do so much work with just those two items, and how to maximize and make that workflow as creative and as efficient as possible. We still have, I believe, one or two seats left on the infrared photography workshop, and that starts in mid-March. That one's already scheduled. And this workshop, I have been working a lot on getting ready for this, in part because it's just so darn fun. As I mentioned in some of the articles where I've talked about infrared, is that I can walk out my door, this door I've been walking out to take a walk basically for 9 months now during the pandemic and seeing basically the same thing. Now I walk out with my IR camera and the world looks completely different, and I change filters and the world looks different again and again and again. And it's just so exciting to me. And there is a lot to infrared photography. I think people have a misconception about it, that it always just kind of looks this one way. But I've been playing with things where I take, you know, the basic IR image, and then I start doing things like adding LUTs to it and stuff like that, and get an image that, is it IR? Is it just really cool creativity? What is it? I can't tell exactly. And I love those images. So IR, and pun intended, can really be this wide spectrum of stuff. And once you really get into it, I find it just very invigorating and refreshing and exciting. So that workshop begins in mid-March. Like I said, we still got one or two seats left for that. And I can't wait to get going on that. If you're interested in that workshop as well, again, go to thenimblephotographer.com and you can sign up right there. What else do we have here? Oh, I just want to thank all of our Patreon members, the folks that support this podcast month in and month out. A lot of the things that I have come up with in the last year, you know, have been possible because of your support, or in part because of your support. If you want to become a Patreon member, an Inner Circle member of this community, all you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. You can either go $5 a month and just have it automatically billed to your credit card, or you can pay for a whole year, which is $54, I believe, so you save a few bucks that way. You get a ton of benefits. You get discounts on all the workshops. There's free content. We have our own area, which is kind of fun as well. If you want to help this community continue to roll forward as we go through all these changes, I encourage you to support us through Patreon. Again, just click on the tile. It's on all the pages of Digital Story. Take a look at our site and see what you think. And a big thanks to our members that are supporting us right now. And finally, hats off to the folks at Red River Paper. Thank you so much, guys, for being there for us and for making such wonderful print paper and supporting this community. Sometimes I feel like that they have the inkjet printing community just squarely on their shoulders. They seem fully up to the task, doing a wonderful job by providing tutorials, reviews, a wide variety of paper. How do you use this stuff? How do you make fine art cards? How do you do all this fun stuff with your printer? They've injected a lot of life into inkjet printing. If you want to get started on this, if you want to create art that you can hold in your hands and hand to somebody else, just click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. It'll take you over to our landing page. And they also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. And a big thanks to them for supporting this show. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed our look at the fresh stock of cameras for 2021. I'll be back next week with more goodies. Until then, stay safe, be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.